Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.
Because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go. God bless.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wis Politics and Wisconsin Eyes look at this week in the Capitol. Let's give Wis I Was There the week off, J.R.
Okay.
It's been a busy week. Okay. let's talk about the biggest news story of the week, obviously. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee County Judge Rebecca Dowlett's win. Mm-hmm. Not just any win, 56-44.
Yeah.
That's stunning.
I had heard rumblings of polling from a liberal side that had her up high single digits, 10-ish points. She had a polling memo out a few weeks ago that had her up 10 or 11 points. So there were signs there, but the feeling was, oh, this closing ad campaign, like this would make a difference. You know, the GOP hitting her on San Francisco values, quote unquote, that would make a difference.
Right.
That would help get the conservative base engaged. But when I kind of geeked out this week and looked at like various counties, what I saw was that turnout was up in a lot of places compared to 2015. That's the last time we had a contested Supreme Court race without a presidential primary on the ballot. Mm-hmm. So the wild counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington, turnout was up. But Michael Skrinnick did not hit the mark he needed to do well in those counties. So my question became, okay, if turnout is up in these places, does that mean it's Democrats who are turning out and Republicans who are, or marginals, are kind of staying home? That might be part of it. Because then you go look at Brown County. This is a county
won by Dowlett with 55%.
This is an area of the state that has become like Scott Walker country. Donald Trump did well there in 2016. I think Hillary Clinton got 41% of the vote in Brown County in 2016. She wins at 55%. What's going on that these numbers are showing up? She won Marathon County, which is part of Wausau, which is kind of swung toward Republicans. Democrats really struggled in western Wisconsin in 2016, but she hit more than 60% in Eau Claire and La Crosse counties. It suggests that this is another example of the Democratic enthusiasm out there that's going on compared to a conservative base that may be somewhat, I don't say depressed, but not as motivated. And the question becomes why? Is it because they've been told for 8 years, if Republicans have the keys, everything, they'll repeal Obamacare, and they haven't? Is it because they're looking at Washington, D.C. and going, that place is a mess still, the swamp is still there? Are they going, Scott Walker, you've gone kind of squishy on us with this last budget, and we're not as motivated as we were before? I don't know what's going on.
But let's talk about Dane County. Mm-hmm. 81% win for Dowlett. I looked it up. You know me, I'm a fan of this 2011 Kloppenburg versus Prosser. Kloppenburg, who's from Dane County, only won it by 73%. Now, that's just fascinating to me. And Dowlett won Rock by 61%, and as you said, Eau Claire by 64%, La Crosse 67%, and Brown, as I said, 55%. So you and I didn't see these margins coming for Rebecca Dowlett.
No. I had the feeling from talking to people going into it that she would be favored because of the environment, just that enthusiasm you see for Democrats.
The Me Too movement?
You're the
NRA
woman. Talked
endorsed
about that.
Her opponent?
All these things could give her an edge. But the other question was the GOP turnout game. We've been told for several cycles now about how great the Republican turnout operation is. Here's an example of a time when it didn't deliver. And the question is why. Now, I talked to Democrats last week. The party was doing things in a different way. So the coordinated campaign, they call it. That is, the Democratic Party plus its candidates have a coordinated campaign, they call it. And that's their get-out-the-vote effort. They were doing calls. They were doing knocking on doors, but they weren't doing it explicitly for Dowlett. They were doing it more for a general turnout operation and handing people Dowlett material in this process. They didn't have to report it to the state that way. The GOP, though, dropped $400,000. Well,
I think you
$410. The last check, roughly, on mail, staff,
direct
other things.
Direct contribution to the Skrinnick campaign.
And so here's a chance, an opportunity, or an example of where maybe the ground games aren't that different. I think sometimes they're overrated. We talk about ground games. I get the impression talking to people that really what it is they capture the mood. Like if you're motivated to vote and you get that contact, that helps you. You catch the wind. This is the first time Republicans are in a headwind with their operation, and it didn't deliver.
Okay. Before we talk to before we look at some of the reactions, let's listen to clips from both the Skronik party and the Skronik I Lost party and the Dalit I Won party. Let's hear some tape from that.
Friends, I ran with two things in mind. We need to restore independence to the judiciary, and we have to put Wisconsin values front and center. And that's what I've talked about. And that's what I've talked about throughout the entire campaign. Special interests definitely are having their impact, and it's on both sides of the aisle. That's why I pledged I will recuse myself if any of those special interests that supported me appear before me. Tonight we proved that when the people rise up and stand together, we can beat the special interests. We beat the NRA.
I love Wisconsin. From Baraboo to Bayfield County, Wisconsin is my home. And Karen and I entered this race because it provided the best opportunity to merge my love for the state of Wisconsin, my heart for service, and my passion for the law. A couple of weeks ago, I was rereading my application that I submitted to Governor Walker before he appointed me to the circuit court, and I read the two lengthy briefs that I submitted as my writing samples. And when I got done reading them, I thought, man, I miss the days when I had time to spend as much time as I needed to research an issue to death. And I was really excited to have the opportunity to do that on our Supreme Court, and I will not, at least not anytime soon.
J.R., as we heard Mr. Skronik, Judge Skronik, talk, he said, you know, I really had this studious idea that the law committed to not being an activist. Was he charismatically challenged?
It's interesting. The feedback I got this week, and every race I've covered, on Monday, the candidate is a great person who's going to be a great whatever. On Wednesday, when he or she loses, they're horrible. And the knocks I heard about Skronik were, you know, he wasn't a dynamic candidate, from the wrong part of the state, from Sauk County, not from a population center. Of course, the pushback is, where's Michael Gaiman from again?
Oh, way up north. Up north.
That the campaign ads from the outside groups were late for him. I mean, there was just a series of things. But if you add it up, is that equal 12 points? I don't know. It might just be the environment that we saw where the Democrats are just more motivated than Republicans. And there wasn't a D or an R on the ballot, but it was clear about who the liberal was, who the conservative was, and all that kind of good stuff.
Okay, now let's look at three bits of reaction. First of all, this tweet from the governor, which has gone viral, national, Politico, CNN. We are at risk of a blue wave in Wisconsin. The far left is driven by anger and hatred. We must counter it with optimism and organization. Let's share our positive story with voters and win in November. That's the governor, the Democratic state chair, Martha Lanning. Tonight is a huge loss for Governor Scott Walker, more so even than Judge Michael Skronik. As Walker's endorsement, philosophy, and politics were on the ballot. One more opinion. I asked Mr. Franklin, Charles Franklin, pollster. It's a long time to November, and turnout then will be more than double that of the court race. But Dallas' performance in usually Republican areas is a warning signal, as the governor has tweeted. Any other bits of reaction that you saw that is notable?
Talking to people, you can't do a cause and effect of this happened in April, therefore this will happen in November.
No, you can't.
We saw, for example, Michael Gableman, conservative challenger who knocked off a city incumbent in April of 08, and Barack Obama led the biggest Democratic wave I've seen in Wisconsin that fall.
That's a good example.
But it is another talking point of a blue wave. You have the 10th Senate District. Dem enthusiasm was up. You have this. Dem enthusiasm is up. You have two special elections in June.
Yes.
There'll be one more opportunity for a talking point. And at some point, perception becomes reality in politics. And if you keep having these talking points, it builds a perception, which then encourages outside groups to invest in Wisconsin. If you're a Democrat right now, you can go to a group and say, look, we have a shot against Governor Walker because of what happened on Tuesday, because of the 10th Senate District. No, by the way, watch in June, and it opens up pocketbooks. So that might be about more the impact than anything else.
Let's dive a little bit deeper into those special elections. Senate District 1, you have two Republicans, State Representative Andre Jock and Alex Renard, and so far only one Democrat, Caleb Frostman. JR, the heart of Senate District 1 is Door County. And when Rebecca Dallet took Door County by 62%.
So asking Democrats this week, I don't have a ward-by-ward breakdown to know exactly what happened in the exact footprint of the first, but roughly it looks like she won that district 52-54%, somewhere in there, again, these rough numbers. Now, the question becomes, in June, we're not going to hit 22% turnout in June special election.
We did statewide, yes.
So who's going to turn out? Well, those who are most enthusiastic. Who's most enthusiastic right now? Democrats. Now, it's if you can sustain this for two more months.
That's true.
It's an if. It's also a week after school gets out for a lot of people, you know, all kinds of kind of caveats. But if I'm a Democrat, I feel kind of good about that.
Let's stay in the first Senate district just a little bit. Some of these other counties that are part of it, Kewaunee, Dallet, 49%. She won Manitowoc by about, maybe only 130 votes, but she still won Manitowoc County. Finally, Calumet County, she got 49%. Mr. Judge Skronik got 51%. When you look at Assembly District 42, the heart of that, as you know, is Columbia County. Look at that. Columbia County, Dallet, 56%. Now, other counties in the 42nd, Dodge, Skronik, 57%, Green Lake, Skronik, 59%, and Marquette County, Skronik, 56%. But before there was Rip, there was Doc Hines. Mm-hmm. That's been Republican. 42nd has been a Republican for a long time.
But Doc lost it in the, did Doc retire?
I thought he retired.
Dems won it in 06, right. I believe, and they held it for a couple of terms. The district has changed quite a bit since then, but from what I've talked to Democrats, they think, again, their guess, about kind of a 50-50 race in that. But now, if you make it a nakedly partisan, like absolute R&D,
yes.
How does that impact things? That's a big question for that compared to what happened on Tuesday. So Democrats still feel good. Now Republicans, you know, they are not giving up yet.
Right.
But like, you can't feel good if you're Republican after what happened on Tuesday.
Okay, and there's a long way to go in both the 1st and the 42nd. The primary elections could be the 15th. Nomination petitions don't even have to be in until April 17th. But then, as we said, the election is on June 12th.
And remember, these candidates that we're talking about, they haven't been tested yet. It's not just what happened on Tuesday. It's candidate you have. It's the message you have and the resources you have. Those are things that are kind of key. So you can't just say, well, Dallet did this, therefore, you know, Caleb is going to win the seat. Can't do that,
right.
But it's going to be a boost for them.
Okay, let's talk about something else that happened Tuesday. Voters by a margin of 61% to 39% voted to keep the state treasurer. Now, it's down to a one-person job. Mm-hmm. You have an office in the basement of the Capitol. You have one function, the Board of Commissioners on Public Lands. That's the only thing you do. Why did voters keep this job?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I've been asking people about this week, and it's interesting. Republicans passed this amendment and it's threw in the ballot and said, okay, it's done. Like, we're good to go. There was no public campaign to eliminate the office. Other than like some tweets from Governor Walker and some other Republicans or like social media stuff, there wasn't any kind of public campaign about this office. I did see an $85,000 TV buy from a group looking to save the office.
Save our physical watchdog.
I did see a digital ad from the Greater Wisconsin Committee, that's a liberal group, their referendum arm that called this a Walker power grab.
Okay.
But let's use Dallet's mark of 56% as the base. Like that's just pure Democratic turnout, okay?
Yeah.
How'd they get from 56% to 61.62%? That's the question I have. You know, what happened? So I've got a couple of theories. One, that people are confused by the amendment wording on the ballot, and if you're confused, people tend to vote no. Two, I heard a theory that people walked in there and said, okay, if I vote no, that means I want to get rid of the office. Maybe. Who knows? But the bottom line is it's sticking around. So what do you do with it now?
What about the idea that when you read that, it said the duties of the office serving on the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands would go to the lieutenant mm-hmm. governor, who is a big part of the Walker administration. So was that part of the pushback against another power grab by the Walker administration?
That's why I'm guessing that the Dallet mark, if that's where the Dem turnout, that's a base to use in that question. But again, how do you get to 62% almost beyond that? Something else is going on. Maybe, you know, we've got this big government tradition in Wisconsin of like we, you know, like our offices, if people want to mess the Constitution. I mean, I can't give you a good answer.
It's just intriguing. But let's go a little deeper on this. 995,000 votes cast for the Supreme Court race. 936,000 cast, or 59,000, only 59,000 less. So most of the voters stayed with Supreme Court and state treasurer.
And I think I've picked up some rumblings that educators were opposed to the amendment because they didn't want to see Lieutenant Governor on the Board of Commissioner of Public Lands because that money goes to benefit public libraries,
right,
schools. So they were, again, just theories because I don't think he's going to spend any money, go out and do like a post-mortem on that office if
no,
you know what happened.
Right. Not one office that the job pays $70,000, you get benefits, you get an office in the basement, but you only have one job. And now there's only one candidate. Democrat Sarah Godlewski, who we interviewed as part of the Save the Job, has now registered to run.
And I would guess that the efforts, because there has been talk that if this was successful, they next go after the Secretary of State's office. Well, after this, do you bother trying to do that? Probably not. So that may save Doug La Follette's job. Well, he keeps getting elected, so we can't really call it his, but he's been there for a long time. Might keep that office around for a while, too.
Okay, let's stay away from politics and let's go into the international domestic. When you get into China trade wars, mm-hmm, and they target ginseng, and 90% of the nation's ginseng is grown in one county, Marathon County, by about 140 farmers. And that's worth $30 million a year, according to stats from the Ginseng Board. And when you talk about soybeans, sure, you hurt Iowa, even though your ambassador is former Iowa Governor Terry Branstad. But you also hurt two out of three rows of our soybeans. If you go to our soybean website, mm-hmm, they are exported with China the biggest demand. So, and by the way, Wisconsin voted for President Trump in November of 2016.
Don't forget their manufacturers like Harley-Davidson worried about these things.
And cranberries.
Cranberries. China has vowed, I think, recently that they will answer in heavy force. The president saying this is not a trade war. We're just already losing, so we're making things even. Mm-hmm. I'm not an economist, but what's interesting is the national narrative being driven of the actions by President Trump are hurting Trump country. So places like Iowa and Wisconsin. So how is that going to help Republicans this fall if you're a soybean farmer in Iowa and you're going, what's going on? I don't feel comfortable about this. That's not going to help a GOP brand, right, and those votes out there. Or up in Marathon, do you feel good about Republicans right now if you're a ginseng farmer or part of that industry?
And by the way, Marathon County voted 59% for Mr. Trump in November of 2016. Mm-hmm. I asked our State Secretary of Agriculture, Sheila Harsdorf, and an aide to the governor about this. Let me read their statements. First of all, from the Secretary of Ag, China is Wisconsin's third most valuable export market for our ag products. In 2017, Wisconsin exported nearly 300 million of ag products to China, an increase of 27% over 1 year. Finally, maintaining and expanding our export markets is key to ensuring profitability for our farmers and processors. And then two sentences from an aide to the governor. We are concerned about the potential impact Chinese tariffs pose for Wisconsin industries. Governor Walker is committed to working with our ag community and the president to ensure that Wisconsin industries continue to grow. But you and I have seen this drum roll from the senators in Iowa and from other members of Congress saying, hey, do you really want to get into this, Mr. Trump, because you're hurting us? It's just fascinating.
Is there short-term pain and long-term gain, or is it all going to be pain? That's a question. We've got job numbers this morning, 103,000 jobs, I think it was.
Yeah,
created.
They expected close to 200,000.
So what's that mean? I'm not an economist, but there's something going on. There's a lot of jitterness in the markets. I mean, I'm sure you watch the market like I do, and you've seen it go up and down every day with new pronouncement. It's a little bit of time of uncertainty right now.
So when I asked the Secretary of Ag, what do we export? She said wood, raw hides, and skins, and dairy products. So Wisconsin has a lot at stake in this, mm-hmm, in this tariff debate. Okay, let's go to one other little incidental item. Mm-hmm. State Representative Dale Coinga removed a sign that called the president a serial groper, just took it down, even though on the back of the sign there was a state permit that said that sign had been processed and approved. He was sued. Mm-hmm. Now, the settlement is very interesting because he says he agreed to a $30,000 settlement, reading part of his statement, to not incur the cost of a prolonged legal battle or further divert time or energy from the actual public policy priorities facing our state. And then the Democratic official, Melanie Conklin, If he actually believes in personal and physical responsibility, Cuenca will repay Wisconsin taxpayers who should not be forced to pay $30,000 for his illegal behavior. Let's talk about Cuenca. He's a CPA. Mm-hmm. He's a member of the Finance Committee. He's running for the state Senate, and he's a very well-regarded officer in the Guard. Mm-hmm. So will this hurt him, do you think, running for the state Senate?
Well, it's a Republican seat, but there's a rule in politics. When you're in a hole, stop digging. And if you saw his comments that, you know, his military intelligence background led him to seize his sign, which is kind of confusing.
It is.
Little eye rolling from some people I talked to this week. So it could be an issue. The issue, though, for Democrats is this seat is a pretty Republican seat. It's yes. Like, you know, mid-50s, I think. But it's also a seat that touches the western suburbs of Milwaukee. It kind of goes sideways into Waukesha County. Suburban communities are where Republicans are doing poorly right now. So what's that mean for November? I don't know right now. I hate to make a prediction, but you can make an issue out of this issue in that race.
Can you foresee a scenario under which he repays the state $30,000?
I don't make any predictions like that right now.
That's wise.
That's a high bill when you're making 48, 49, 50.
They're up to 50,900, I think, is their salary.
So
it's their base salary.
Big chunk of change for your salary.
Okay, fascinating week. Let's go to your stock picks.
So Democrats, again, like we talked before, you can't make a direct correlation of this happened in April, therefore November this is going to happen. But if you're the Democrats, it's the next talking point to keep building up the idea of a blue wave. And oh, by the way, they're not the only ones talking about it. Governor Walker is. He rang this alarm bell Tuesday night about the possibility of a blue wave. He is, to some critics, panicking right now, trying to get the base motivated. And what's interesting is, after the Senate district race in the 10th district, Walker talked about a wake-up call.
Wake-up call.
But people didn't respond to him after that. Now he's talking about a blue wave possibly coming and all these reforms being at risk. What is going on? What will get the base motivated for him now? And talking to some Republicans this week, they say, look, once Walker's actually on the ballot, that'll be a whole different dynamic. These Democrats don't have a strong candidate right now. That's going to matter. Talks of Democrats, they're looking at the results going, I don't know about that. Maybe whoever gets through can just ride this wave and be a threat to Walker, even with the disparity we're going to see. Right. Like I said before, it's going to open up wallets to generate more money. And Democrats have been on this losing streak in contested elections for a while in Wisconsin. Other than the 2012 presidential race and the U.S. Senate race, they've been losing. So when you lose, the narrative becomes, oh, your ground game has suffered. You guys have lost. You've fallen behind Republicans. They can now say, hey, no, actually, we turned out people on Tuesday. And again, I think some of this may be overstated, the impacts they have. It may be more they catch the wave than they generate the wave.
Yeah.
But it's a way to make an argument of you guys are doing better than they are. So it's good for them.
So if Dems are rising, who's next?
Well, Chris Abele.
Milwaukee County Executive.
He spent an awful lot of money.
To try to take out some members of the races. Board of Supervisors.
You know, had some wins, but one of his top targets was the county board chair. Did not do well with that. So now the question becomes.
Mr. Lipscomb was reelected.
Yes. So what happens now? Do they work together? Can Chris Abele find a way to be at peace with these guys? I don't get the impression this is going to sit well in some county board offices going forward. And oh, by the way, Chris Abele, who seems to have more money than any politician I've seen since Herb Kohl in Wisconsin, was it worth the money to drop that to get to this result? Why not, some people told me this week, just try to work with these guys, find some way to get to a compromise. Different tact. I mean, it didn't work so well.
Okay. And falling?
So Representative Prozhinsky.
Republican rep.
He is a top target for Democrats in November. It is not good when you're a top target in November to lose your mayoral reelection in April and lose it by almost 2-1. Now, I cannot find a good media outlet covering the Mondovi mayor race. But if you go back and look at 2016, even when Traeg won the assembly race, he only won the city of Mondovi by like 10 votes. So there's something going on there. I'm just not quite sure what it is, but it's not a helpful narrative ahead of a reelection bid. Democrats have two candidates up there they like already. The question, again, is resources, mm-hmm. You know, turnout, who's going to be motivated come November. This is a top target and not a great thing to have happening to you ahead of your reelection bid.
Okay, before we end, your newsletter reported today that a Nicholson poll has him up 17 mm-hmm. over Senator Vukmir.
Yes.
But it's important that we say that is a Kevin Nicholson poll.
Yeah, so I got a polling memo. I didn't get the entire poll to see how the questions were asked. You know, sometimes polling outfits will ask, did you know this, before they get those numbers. So I don't know any of that stuff.
Okay.
That said, this poll is shows movement from a December poll the same group did. You also are seeing this week the first ad from the Super PAC backing Vukmir, right? Talking about how she's tied to Scott Walker, or trying to tie her to Scott Walker, how she stood with him during these, you know, union protests, calls them union thugs, you know, came in the Capitol. Clearly at the base, consistent conservative, a veiled knock at Kevin Nicholson for his past as a Democrat. My guess from talking to some people is that the Vukmir people know they have to get something up on the air, because Nicholson has been basically unchecked by anybody for the last, going back to December. He's got John Bolton Super PAC doing stuff for him. He's got, you know, a PAC out of Iowa running radio for him. He's got the airwaves himself. They need to answer back and try to stop this. And, oh, by the way, we now have a big state convention in May where there will be a vote on an endorsement. Oh, and there's also Eric Hovde out there in the ether.
Well, I was going to ask you, we're almost out of time, but the results of Tuesday's election, do you expect that to nudge Mr. Hovde one way or the other?
The feedback I've gotten, I've called him several times, and I get calls back once in a while. The feedback I've gotten, both in talking to him, is he's trying to make a calculation of, is there a path to win? In talking to other people, their perception is he'll get in if there's a way to win in November. If there's not, he's not going to spend $5, $10 million, pick your number, of his own pocket just to lose. So does Tuesday help him think it's an opportunity? Probably not. But does he have a path somewhere else to beat Tammy Baldwin if and win the GP nomination? That remains to be seen.
I understand. Okay. I'm not going to say this week that the Brewers are in first place. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Roth.
That's Rewind for April 6th.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.